Thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio as a trusted business and investing news source. Today's special guest, Jim Rogers, from his home office in Singapore. Good morning, Jim Rogers.
I'm delighted to be here, Chris. Good evening to you.
Thank you. And, you know, the global currency turmoil certainly intensified last Thursday. We saw that surprise decision apparently involved a policy that was a three-year-long peg to the euro currency. The move sent the franc soaring. My broker, FXCM, currency broker, required a bailout. Hundreds of millions of dollars were lost. Tell us how you saw this coming way back in 2013.
Mainly, Chris, because it was illogical. It could not work, despite, you know, the problem these days is central banks think they're smarter than all of us. They think they're smarter than the market. And therefore, they think if we say it, it's going to work. But it doesn't. Just because Ben Bernanke or Janet Yellen says something, you know, they're nothing more than academics. And suddenly they get these jobs and people think they must know something, but they don't. They're academics and bureaucrats who have no clue, as we're finding out almost monthly.
The European Central Bank, they seem to be following in the footsteps of their colleagues at the Fed with QE. You've commented on this recently. You're not a big fan of it. You don't think it will rescue the eurozone. Tell us why the whole edifice could fall down. Was it based on a shaky foundation?
Of course it is. You just because you print money does not mean that you have solve the fundamental problems that exist in your country or in any country. A major problem these days is there's staggering debt everywhere, and the debt is going higher and higher and higher. Printing money and incurring more debt is not going to solve the problem. One reason the world is having problems growing is because there's this huge debt overhang. Chris, anybody who's got debt, no matter how hard they work, a lot of their work goes towards paying off the debt and the huge debt burden that you're carrying with you. So that's one basic problem here, and nobody's solving that problem. Every country in the world, especially the ones that talk about austerity, they're not cutting their debt. They're all increasing their debt. We have a huge problem in the world, which we're papering over, but paper is not going to solve the problem of too much debt, absurd regulations, absurd controls, and problems, fundamental problems in the world economy.
They're trying to fight fire with fire, but unfortunately, this type of inferno only gets worse. You know, it's like throwing water on an electrical fire. It's just the wrong panacea. Though you have a solution to this problem. I know that you've talked in the past about letting the banks implode, turn away from the whole banking system as we know it today. And, you know, there's a precedent for this. I mean, we saw Sweden following that path about 15, 20 years ago. They found themselves in a financial mess, tied up all the toxic debt in one bad bank and said, we're not going to have anything else to do with debt. Any other comments there?
Well, it's astonishing to me, and it is astonishing to me that, you know, the banks and the government, central banks and the government said, we have a problem caused by too much debt and too much spending. So our solution is more debt and more spending. I mean, I was astonished that grown-ups would say something like that in public, but that's their solution. All of this basically, Chris, is to bail out the banks. All the stuff they're buying from the banks to give the banks more liquidity and the system more liquidity. They're not bailing you out. They're bailing out banks, whether it's in Europe, America, or wherever it happens to be, and bailing out governments. So you're exactly right. Let them fail. Clean out the system, as the Scandinavians did once before. You know, in the early 1920s, we had a huge problem like this, we in the U.S. You know what they did? They raised interest rates. They balanced the budget. There was terrible pain for a year or two. But then we had the greatest economic decade we've had in American history. I mean, this doesn't work. It's never worked anywhere. The things that have worked are, you know, clean out the system and start over. I'm not the first observer of world history or economic history to know that. You take your mistakes, what we're doing is we're taking money from competent people and giving it to incompetent people and saying to the incompetent people, now you compete with the competent people with their money. I mean, it's I just can't say these words out loud myself.
And we heard very little about how gold skyrocketed over 100% in less than 2 months. Anyone who held rubles and also had the foresight to keep some precious metals on hand, you know, could have offset all those losses and more due to the crude oil implosion affecting their currency there. And maybe it's a cliche now. Most of our listeners know that they've got to have some precious metals. If Russians can wake up and find their currency virtually worthless, losing most of their life savings and purchasing power in the blink of an eye, you know, why can't this happen in Demopolis, Alabama, or here in near Asheville, North Carolina?
Well, you could also mention the Japanese. The same thing has happened. Japan is the third largest economy in the world, a major, major world economy. It happened to them. The Japanese, who had real assets, survived and actually thrived and made a lot of money during all of this by owning real assets, gold, silver, whatever it happens to be. And Europeans at the moment, their currency is down dramatically in the past few years, but those who own gold have done okay. There's no question that you've heard me say before that I own gold, I own silver. Everybody should own some as an insurance policy, if nothing else. You can own it to make money, but even if you're not interested in making money or think you can make more money somewhere else, everybody should have some gold and some silver as an insurance policy, if nothing else.
Do you feel that they've washed out the weak hands and the smart money is starting to show some interest in gold, or do you think there's still more pain ahead?
Well, I actually, in the recent weeks, bought a few shares of gold miners, mainly because they're so unbelievably depressed. Doesn't mean they're not going to get more depressed, but I'm still expecting another opportunity to buy gold and gold miners this year or next or sometime. Did we see the bottom? If so, I own plenty of gold. Don't worry. I own plenty of gold and silver, but I expect another opportunity, which may or may not come.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask for your thoughts about, you know, West Texas Intermediate crude. Quite a shellacking there, over 50% from about a $110 peak in just a few months. I bet you have an interesting perspective on what's behind it and whether or not there'll be some opportunity for our listeners.
Well, I should first tell you, I didn't see it coming. I did not know that we were going to have a 50% collapse in a few months. I think one reason I didn't know it was because it's actually political. It's engineered by the State Department. As you know, America was negotiating with Iran, and then the deadline came last summer, broke off, but they said, okay, we will extend the deadline. That happened in last summer, and then a few shortly thereafter, Saudi Arabia started dumping oil. Well, that's because the State Department told them to dump oil to put pressure on Iran and Russia, with whom America's got dealings. Saudi Arabia, of course, is happy to do it, given they need to do something to slow fracking, if nothing else. So it was a political decision, a little bit economic, because Saudi Arabia does want to do something about fracking. So since it's political, and I do know the next deadline with Iran is July, so maybe something will happen by then. Chris, it has been the most dramatic collapse of any. I mean, I've seen a lot of collapses in my day, but this was one of the most dramatic collapses I have ever seen of any asset. And usually when they collapse this dramatically, it hits the bottom. Whether we've hit the bottom or not, I don't know. I suspect if we haven't, we're at least close, given how dramatic the collapse was. And as you know, the world has been consuming more than it has been producing from except for fracking. All the other oil in the world is being consumed faster than it's being produced to this day. Fracking, of course, is very short-lived wells, but they came on for a variety of reasons. Now they, of course, are going to have bankruptcies in the fracking business because the wells produce everything within 2 years. So you don't have long lives with those wells. And as far as, quote, punishing Russia for an incursion, that was all engineered by America. I mean, we've got recording, the world has recordings and everything else, where America, the State Department, set out to have a coup in Ukraine, overthrow the government, and bring in a government. I mean, it's all started with us, and now, of course, we've got great PR, and the American press follows Washington and what they say. But the world knows, has plenty of documentation, that this illegal coup was engineered by the U.S., and unfortunately, it's backfired for us, for the U.S. Now we're the ones who are suffering, and we're trying to blame it all on the Russians.
Last question. You tend to give listeners an idea of what's starting to pique your interest in the markets, usually 3 to 6 months before anyone else thinks of it. Anything on your radar screen that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, I want to buy Russia. I'm not buying at the moment. I want to buy more China. I want to buy Japan, more Japan. I want to buy agriculture, more agriculture. There's not anything really new that I have bought, as I said, I bought a little while ago some gold miners just because they were depressed so much. But no, I cannot think of anything that is very exciting. I don't make, Chris, I'm a pretty simple person. I don't change my views very often. I try to find things that are cheap where there's change taking place, and then I try to own them for years. So I'm not much for stockbrokers don't particularly like me because I'm not very active.
Well, Jim Rogers, we thank you so much for your investment outlook.
Thank you very, very much.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.